family. Well, I hope you're enjoying your Father's Day, all of you, even fathers especially. We should be enjoying this day. You know, I tell you, I've had at least two great sensations this morning. One is that I had the sensation as I was sitting in the pew this morning to have my granddaughter sitting next to me and curl all of her fingers around my pinky finger and hold my hand in worship today. And then if that wasn't enough, she gave me a little sticker here that wouldn't stick, so I had to stick a pin through it. And it says, "Best Papa Ever." So I feel pretty happy today. Well, I hope you'll feel inclined to follow along with us this morning in the sermon. The outline is in the bulletin. You can follow along. And of course, yes, we're going to be talking about fathers today. Today is Father's Day. And though it is a great day to remember our dads, it is also a day that is quite different than Mother's Day. You see, most of us have had good mothers, even great mothers, and yet the sad reality is that too many of us as sons and daughters have quite frankly had disappointing dads. Not to say that there aren't some great ones out there, but too many of us have had disappointing dads. Maybe today the challenge before us is to forgive them and to realize that their job maybe is not as easy as we would make it be sometimes. Just ask anyone who's tried it. It is a difficult task to be the kind of father that God wants us to be. A young father-to-be spent the evening pacing the halls of a hospital while his wife was in labor. He was tied up in knots of fear and anxiety. His face was flushed, and his forehead was covered with perspiration. And finally, at 4 a.m. in the morning, a nurse opened the door into the waiting room and said to him, "Congratulations! You have a new baby girl." The man breathed a sigh of relief and said, "Thank God it's a girl. She'll never have to go through all the terrible agony that I've had to go through all this night." I still think it's more difficult to be a mother, but that doesn't lessen the idea that it is still quite challenging to be a father in today's world. And yes, it does take some labor to be a father. Perhaps David Brown is experiencing that right now as we talk. I don't know if you know, but I hear that Carrie is very close to delivering. So we want to pray for that family. And wouldn't it be great if today David Brown could be a father on Father's Day today? But thankfully, I think the Bible gives us some really, really good advice on how to be a father effectively in today's world. A good example can be found right here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." And other versions say, "Do not irritate your children. Do not exasperate your children. Do not agitate your children." The Living Bible puts it this way: "Don't keep scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful." Boy, does that shed some light today on the nature of being a father. We have to be tender and kind and take off some of the rough edges and be careful that we don't exasperate or agitate or irritate our children today. God knows that some dads have the tendency to push their children just a little bit too much and expect too much out of them. Some dads are just too hard to please. And we need to be reminded as fathers today that we need to back off a little bit, not push so hard and let them learn, let them grow, let them experience some mistakes and be a little bit easier on our children. I know of a father who had a teenage son who wanted to work on cars. And so he wanted to work on cars. That was his passion. He wanted to learn this trade so much until his father tried to teach him how to work on cars. As he worked with his son in the garage, everything the son did was wrong. He made this wrong move, he made that wrong move. I mean, the dad meant very well, but he criticized everything that the son did until he basically told his son, move over and let dad do it the right way. And so, needless to say, the son felt frustrated. He felt humiliated, he felt defeated, and he decided that he did not want to be someone who worked on cars. Eventually, he gave up working on cars. And so, really, that's what it means when we say, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't agitate them. Don't irritate them. And God knows that we have other hang-ups as fathers that get in the way of us becoming the kind of father, ultimately, that will give glory to our Heavenly Father. There are other mistakes that God wants us as fathers to keep us from while we see fathers failing all around us. God lets us know that today, fathers, we can be a different dad. We can be a better dad. We can be the kind of dad, again, that will ultimately glorify God. And though some bad fathers have made it tough for the good ones that are out there, the surprising truth is that kids actually want to be close to their fathers. They want that nurturing. They want that training and being admonished in the Lord. They want that hero to look up to. They want to be able to be close to their fathers. A few years ago, Careers and Colleges magazine conducted a survey of teenagers asking them, whom do you admire the most? Do you know that out of the sons, 73% of those sons picked their fathers whom they admired the most. Now, some of them chose their mothers or actors or athletes or whatever, but 73% chose their fathers. Every father needs to take advantage of this built-in tendency of hero worship that our sons and daughters have, and then use that to develop and strengthen our relationship with our children today. Fathers, I think the question before us today is this. How do you do that? How do you develop the relationship that God wants you to have with your children, to have that strong kind of relationship with them? How do we, again, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord? What do you do when your children starts having trouble with other kids at school? What do you do, Father, when your children are fighting with each other? How do you raise your children in a way that would please God? With so many failing fathers all around you, how can you be a different dad? What is it that you can give to your children to be that different dad? That's what I'm going to be addressing this morning. And the first thing I want to suggest that you need to, Father, give to your children is, this is really where it starts, you need to give them your prayers. There are many examples in Scripture of fathers praying for their children. In Mark chapter 5, you remember Jairus, who had a daughter that was very ill, and he went to Jesus pleading for Jesus to help him. You have another man who came to Jesus in Mark chapter 9, who his son had an evil spirit in him. He came to Jesus asking for Jesus, pleading for Jesus to help him. You have the example of Job, who prayed for his children, and he offered sacrifices to God in case his children had sinned. And then there is the example of King David, who toward the end of his life, He was preparing to hand over the mantle of leadership to his son. And God had told King David that, I don't want you building the temple because you're a man of war. I want someone, a man of peace, to build this temple. David had no slight against him, but David had been a bloody man. He had been a man of war. So he said, I want to turn this over to your son. And so we have this passage right up here on the screen in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. In verse 19. And this is David's prayer, and he says, and give my son Solomon a loyal heart. Fathers, you ought to be praying that your children have a loyal heart to God. He says, give my son a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. David had made the provisions. He set up all the resources, but it was Solomon, his son, whom God was going to use to build the temple. And David was praying for his son, Solomon, praying for his success, praying for his salvation, praying for, in this prayer, his obedience. One of the greatest things that you can do, fathers, for your children is something that won't even cost you a dime. It won't even cost you some Herculean effort. All it is getting down on your knees to God and praying for your children. Can you do that, fathers? And maybe even those of you who, fathers today, who don't have children in the home, like mine, they're raised, they're adults, they're out on their own. Can you pray that God will bring them success, that God will be in their lives, and that they will have salvation? Pray for their protection like Job did. Pray for their healing like Jairus did. Pray for their salvation and their success like King David did about his son Solomon. And ask God to give your children a great education. Ask them to give your children a great career and a great spouse and a great family and great success in whatever they do. Ask God to help your children to be good and strong and responsible Christians, to lead useful lives and to glorify God in all that they do, much like David did for his son Solomon. Your prayers don't have to be fancy, fathers. They just have to be sincere. And let me suggest something else, fathers, especially you young fathers have children in the home. When you're praying for your children, have them sit alongside you and listen to your prayers. Listen to your heart. Listen to your desires. Listen to the way that you care and are concerned about your children's well-being. They will be blessed by that. You will build a strong relationship with your children when they hear you humbly praying to your Father about their being good children. They will see you being a good child to your Heavenly Father above. And by doing that, you're making an investment in the lives of your children. You are giving them not only your prayers, you're giving your children your heart. And that's what they want. Give your children your prayers. And secondly, fathers, if you want to be a different dad, if you want to buck the trend, if you want to be not a disappointing dad, not a distant dad, but a close father, a father who's effective, a father who glorifies God, not only give them your prayers, but also, and this is a tough one, fathers, give them your time. A recent survey revealed that the average five-year-old spends only 25 minutes a week with his or her father. Listen, that equals less than 3 weeks total time in the 18 years that you may have your child in your home. Did you hear what I said? In 18 years of the development and the formation and the building of your child, you will have had 3 weeks time spent with them. Let that sink in. Compare that to the average child today who watches TV or is on the computer for 25 hours a week and on average listens to 11,000 rock songs on the radio or wherever they get their media. All that time spent in the world, and they get just a small smidgen of time with you. And we wonder why some of our children are turning out the way that they are. We wonder why and scratch our heads why some young people are going into schools and shooting up the schools. Not older, 40-year-old white men shooting up schools, but children now going up and shooting up those schools. We wonder why the moral decay is in our families today, in our society, in our country today, and all of these things are going haywire. Fathers, we need to spend time with our children. Can I just say this today, fathers? We need to be mean dads. We need to go in there and turn off that computer and turn off that TV and shut off all the devices and get eyeball to eyeball with our son and daughter, pray with them, talk with them, visit with them, find out what's interesting to them, find out even what they may... I was just the other day talking with my son as he took me out to Jack in the Box. That's my place of choice for Father's Day. And so we were out there, and we were talking about politics. We hadn't done that in a while. Boy, we're just like this on politics. We're right together on what we... And I won't share that with you today, but that's just... And we had a good time visiting. And I tell you what, I wish I'd have done that a whole lot more earlier in my son's life. Fathers, you need to be a presence in the lives of your children today. You need to be mean dads and turn off those stereos and those TVs and spend time with your kids. Charles Francis Adams, who was a 13th century political figure, he kept a diary. And one day he entered in his diary, "Went fishing with my son today, a wasted day." His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which, by the way, is still in existence today. And on that same day that they went on that fishing trip, a wasted day, Brooke made this entry. The son said, "Went fishing with my dad today. It was the most wonderful day of my life." Saw it quite differently, didn't he? The most wonderful day of my life, just because Dad took him fishing. These things are very important. They mean a lot to our sons and our daughters. 1,000 teenage boys were asked what they wanted from their parents, and the number one answer was, spend more time with them. And I actually remember a teenage friend of mine who complained that his parents made him spend the evening at home with his family. And you know why he was complaining about that? Because when they spent time in the home with the family, all of them were in separate rooms watching different TVs. That's why he complained. Fathers and mothers, I hope you know, That's not how to build strong relationships with your children. So how do you build strong relationships with them? Well, notice this passage here up on the screen. It's a blueprint for the home right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. It says, "The words that I command you today," God is talking, he says, "the words that I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall," what? "Teach them diligently." It's going to take diligence to do this, because you're going to have to break out of patterns where you've, fathers and mothers, been selfish in doing things for yourself or doing things on your own without your children. It says, "Teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and when you drive your car, and when you go to worship service." You need to spend time with your children. Oh, how I can tell you today, as a father of a 26-year-old daughter and a 27-year-old son, how I wish we would have done more of this when my children were small. Fathers, young fathers, this time is going to slip out of your hands. Grab a little tighter on it right now. Sit down with your children. Share with them. Talk with them. Visit with them. Get to know them. You'll regret it later on. You'll wish you'd spent more time with them. Spend time with your children. Remember how I said that the average 5-year-old spends 25 minutes a week with his father. That comes to 3.5 minutes today, a day. 3.5 minutes a day to make a positive impact on your child's life. I think that we can do better than that. I think that we can be different dads. I think that God wants us to be different dads. I think that we can give our children more time. We can give them more time, and we can also give them our prayers. Because you see, when you give your children your time, fathers, you give them your heart. Let's look at our third thing this morning I want to bring up that you need to give your children. If you want to be a different dad today, give them your prayers, give them your time. And thirdly, give them responsibility. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus told a story about a father who had two sons. He sent them both out to work in his vineyard. One of the sons said that he'd go, but he didn't go. And the other son said that he wouldn't go, but then he decided to go. And by giving his sons responsibility, you see, what the father ended up doing is he ended up finding out which son was obedient and which son was not. One son could handle responsibility, and the other son could not handle responsibility. The proof was not in good intentions, but the proof was in eventual obedience. And that's what children need to learn. They need to learn responsibility. They need to learn responsibility. When they learn responsibility, they will also learn obedience. And isn't that what we want from our children today, mothers and fathers? Obedience? Don't we want a society that honors God more, that is obedient in the home and obedient out in the world and ultimately obedient to God? That's what we want, our children to learn obedience. And while responsibility teaches our children obedience, it teaches us, fathers, about patience and trust. As a father, you need to trust them to handle a responsibility when you give it to them. Give them a job to do and then get out of their way and see how they handle it, or maybe how they fail. And let them mess up so they can have time to learn and grow and learn. You know, we shelter our children so many times from failure. Failure can actually be a good thing. You set them out there to do something and maybe they don't do well, but pick them up off their feet, tell them they can do better, pray with them, and teach them to stick with it, to be diligent, and ultimately to learn obedience in doing so. Once on a Bill Cosby show, Theo, the teenage son, wanted desperately to cut the Thanksgiving turkey. Getting to carve the turkey was sort of a rite of passage in the home, and Theo believed that he was ready for the task. And so the father gave him a hard time, kind of affectionately ribbing him while he was carving the turkey in the kitchen. Theo was allowed to carve the turkey, and that was a really big deal for him. It really meant a lot for him to take on that responsibility. The point is that children like to be able to step up to the task. They like to be able to know they've done a good job. And when they obey, they like to know that they have a sense of accomplishment, that they've done something important, maybe to the contribution of the family, as was the case with Theo. But it also teaches the parent trust, and also teaches us patience. When your children are younger, give them a responsibility, see how they handle it, and watch that as they develop and they get older, as they handle the smaller things, they will be able to handle the larger things as they get older. And it's just a snowball effect where they learn responsibility. And that's a good thing for us to teach our children today. You know, let your child, as they get to a certain age, let them pay the bill at the restaurant, as my son did yesterday. He's done that before, but I mean, you don't have to wait to be 27 to do that. But let them take on that responsibility. Let them pump your gas. Maybe let them, your son, say a prayer at a family gathering, whatever it may be. And again, as their father, you'll have to back off. You'll have to let them fall a time or two before maybe they get it right or do it exactly the way you want it done. But put your trust in them. Patiently watch them and let them live and learn. And once again, you'll grow in your relationship with them. They'll learn responsibility. You'll learn to be patient and trust in them. It's really a win-win situation. So again, give them your prayers. Give them your time. Give them responsibility. And the last one this morning, fathers, if you want to be a different dad, give them a sense of identity. In the movie Vacation, Chevy Chase inspires his family to continue in the face of great adversity as they're traveling down the road. But the main thing that he continues to instill in his children and really in his family as a whole is he says, "We're the Griswolds, and the Griswolds don't quit." Even though, of course, Chevy Chase in the movie was not exactly the ideal father, and of course that wasn't really the ideal family as well, he's able to instill a pride in the family in the Griswold name. And as a result, he gives them, you see, a sense of identity. No matter how dysfunctional your family tree might be, fathers, there are positive aspects of your heritage that you as a father can pass on to your children. Have you ever sat down and talked with your children and told them about the heroes in your family? Give them someone to look up to and to find motivation in their lives to live better, to live a cut above others. They will definitely appreciate that. As you set before them heroes, they will make what you also need to do is make a spiritual appeal as well. This is what we see here in the example of the Lord speaking to Moses right here in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 2. He says to Moses, he says, "Tell your son and your son's son the powerful things I have done in Egypt, the miracles I have done among them, that they may know that I am the Lord." Moses is being told by God to give his sons a sense of identity, to let his sons know that there are heroes in the family and there is a God behind those heroes that made them victorious, that gave them success. His sons would know about their relatives in the faith and know not only about their faith, but about the God whom they had faith in. And the sons would know that God is who he is and that they are who they are in him. Fathers, give your children a sense of identity. Let them know who they are today in Christ Jesus. That will do a lot for them. And you will be a different dad today. Fathers, let me just tell you this. It's time for you, fathers, to shine for the Lord. It's time for you in our backwards a culture today to be a different dad, to bring your children up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Give them your prayers, give them your time, give them responsibility, give them a sense of identity. The story is told of a Quaker family named Smythe during the Civil War. And against the father's wishes, the son ran off and he enlisted in the army. The father didn't hear from his son for almost 2 years until word came that the boy had been wounded in battle. And so the father left the family farm, went to this area in search of his son who had been wounded in battle. It was late at night, so he lit a lantern and he walked to the scene of the battle. And as the father arrived, he was filled with despair when he saw by the dim light of his lantern several wounded soldiers out on the battlefield, all of them crying out. And the father called loudly to his son. He said, "Jonathan Smythe, thy father seeketh thee." And he continued to go about looking for his son. He would walk a little bit more, and then he would cry out again, "Jonathan Smythe, thy father seeketh thee." And here and there a groan would be heard, and a young soldier would say, "I wish that that were my father out here looking for me." Mr. Smythe continued his search, calling for several hours, looking for his son, wanting to find his son. And finally, he heard a faint voice. It said, "Father, I'm over here." And the wounded boy said to his father, "I knew you would come." Fathers, our children are crying out on the battlefield today. They're wounded. They're hurting. They're dying. And it's time to go after them and to show them that you are a different dad. You want to let them know that you're ready to give them what they need the most. You are ready. You're equipped by God to give them your prayers and to give them your time and to give them responsibility and also to give them a sense of identity. And ultimately, in doing all those things, Father, you will give them your heart. And that's really what it's about. You see, church, a real father gives his children their heart. That is the true test of fatherhood. It has nothing to do with money and possessions and material things or success. What makes a man a great father is that he gives his children his heart. And let me say a word to those of you who have had disappointing dads. Being a father isn't easy. And dads certainly make a fair share of their mistakes today. And for every child out there who has had a disappointing dad, there is a dad who feels horrible for being that disappointing dad. And whether you're a father or not, the question again is this morning, are you giving others your heart? Fathers, are you giving your children your heart? But also all of us today, are you giving others in your life your heart today? That's what God wants us to do, to love Him with our heart, soul, and mind, but to love our neighbor, what? As ourself. God wants us to give others our heart. And even more important than that, have you given God your heart in terms of coming to Jesus Christ for salvation? Jesus gave His heart, gave His all on Calvary's cross, where He hung in pain and agony. He bore the sins of the world, giving and providing salvation to all those who would come to Him, who would believe that He died on the cross, who would believe that He rose from the dead, and believe that He's God's Son. And if you would believe that today, repent of your sins then, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive salvation today. You'll receive the gift of God's Spirit. You'll receive eternal life as your home. And so we extend that invitation right now as we ask you today to give God your heart. Let's stand to sing.